You already getting the Word of God this morning? Well, we're going to continue in our series, God's Word, The Better Story. And we're going to talk about the walking dead this morning. And so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to read out of John chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 15 to get us started. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, well, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come to your word and we can hear truth and we can hear about how great of a God that you truly are, how that you are the God over death. And Lord, as we think about this Memorial Day weekend and the many loved ones and that have gone on before us, we know that you alone possess life eternal. And so, Father, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and a mind to believe and heart to receive your words today. Help us to hear your voice, Father. I pray that you'd help us to hear you so that we may honor and glorify and serve you. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. As we get into this sermon, we're going to look at not the movie The Walking Dead, but there's this series I guess some of you are aware of called The Walking Dead. It's a big hit, you know, and it's originally was a comic that's been made into a television series, and it's a top rating show that watch. It's a post apocalyptic series of a particular city in the world that gets overran by zombies. And the zombies are known as the walkers. And the people that are alive and trying to survive, they're referred to as the walking dead. Not that they're dead, but they're walking. And but it's just time that the zombies will get to them and infect them with that disease that they have and kill them as well. And so as we look at this title, The Walking Dead, I think God's Word's got the better story. And we're going to hear about a man that Jesus loved and cared for who had died, but God's going to do something amazing. So we're told as we read through in John 11, 1 through 15, that there was a man by the name of Lazarus whom Jesus loved. And he was told, he's sick, he's ill, we better get to him, he's about to die. He gets word, and Jesus intentionally waits 2 days longer before he heads that way. And as he heads there, and he finally arrives at where Lazarus was, he's encountered by Lazarus' sister Martha, who runs out to Jesus, and she says, if you had only been here, Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that God hears you, and that whatever you ask of him, he will do. And then Jesus responds in verse 23, it says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Your brother will rise again. Now, this lady is Jewish, and so she has a hope for a future messianic kingdom. And so she's thinking long term. She doesn't understand exactly what Jesus is saying at that moment, because then she replies this way. And Martha said to him, well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Yeah, I know that one day he's going to rise again. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Boom. Right? Think about that. She says, I know he's going to live again. I know in the resurrection at the last time he'll rise again. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. How many of you all realize that Jesus brings life? Jesus is life, that in him there is no death, and Jesus brings dead things to life. I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I know the way to the resurrection. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways to the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Jesus alone brings life. How many of y'all believe that today? He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He goes on. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Wow, think about this. Right, Memorial Day, many of us have loved ones that have went on, and we take a time to remember and reflect about those who have served our country that have died in battle, and that they have died for our country. We remember our aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmothers, our parents or that have died, and we take this time away. And to know that everyone who is in Jesus, though he die, he lives. That all of our loved ones that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that have confessed and placed their faith in Jesus, when they died, they didn't really die. They're alive in him. That takes the sting out of death. You see, Jesus has power and authority over death. He says, yet if anyone believes in me and lives in me, though he dies, he's going to live. Do you believe this? It's a question he asked Martha. Do you believe this? I think that's a good question for us today, isn't it? Do you believe that Jesus is the life, that he's the resurrection, and if you are in him, if you believe in him and live in him, that when you die, you don't die, you live? How many of y'all believe that this morning? Huh? How many of y'all believe that this morning? That even though you die, you live. Now, he says that anyone who believes in me and lives in me, anyone who believes and lives in me will never die. Now, notice what he says. You have to believe in him, live in him, not just know about him or just be around him. He didn't say anyone who just hangs around me will live. He says anyone who believes in me, lives in me, though he dies, will live. There is a big difference between being around Jesus and being in Jesus. You see, Judas was around Jesus. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years, but he wasn't in Jesus. He didn't know Christ. He didn't have saving faith. Judas was a follower who walked 3 years with Jesus, but yet went to hell. Just because you're in a church building doesn't make you a believer. True? Just being around Jesus doesn't bring life. You have to be in Jesus. You have to know Jesus. You have to surrender Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about just believing in your mind about Jesus. I'm talking about believing with your mind, heart, and everything in Jesus. Because James says that you believe there's one God, good. Even the devils believe and tremble. So even the devils believe. They know that the intellectual thing, do you believe that Jesus existed? Yes, I believe mentally that he existed, but have you received Jesus in your heart? Have you surrendered your heart and life to him as Lord? That's different. Anyone who believes in me, lives in me, though he dies, yet he will live. Do you believe this? And Martha replies. She says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She says, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Messiah. You're the one that we've been waiting for. You are our hope. And now today, we would answer that question by saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ who has came into the world to set us free. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is the living Lord? He is the Messiah. That in him there is life. And so Martha hurries in. She goes, gets Mary. Mary, Jesus is here. Mary comes out and she runs out to Jesus. And she says the same thing to Jesus that Martha did. She says, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And she's grieving and weeping. And there's others around her that are grieving and weeping as well, and Jesus himself is moved and deeply grieved. And it tells us in this chapter, it's the shortest chapter in the Bible, Jesus wept. And it says in verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. No doubt Lazarus is dead, he says. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now remember, when we all stood up and read for the honor of reading God's word, and we read the beginning part of John chapter 11, and he got news that his friend Lazarus had fallen ill. He's about to die. Jesus made a peculiar statement. He said, this illness does not lead to death, but to bring glory to God. Now watch this. Anytime that Jesus does something, any miracle he does, anything that he does, it's to point you to the realization of who he is. He's about to do something that is going to open up the minds of those that are there. And it's going to reveal the greatness of God the Father. And it's going to reveal that he indeed is truly the Son of God. Watch. So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. He says, Father, I am giving you thanks and praise in advance for the miracle that's about to happen, because it is going to be a testimony of the power of the Lord God Almighty. And he says, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. He says, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. He says, Lazarus, come out. Now, why did he say Lazarus? Because if he just said, come out, everyone in the tombs would have just came out. But he said, Lazarus, come out. And he stepped out of the tomb, and we had the walking dead right before their eyes. There was a dead man walking, and he came out, and he had these strange clothes on him. Now, it wasn't strange when he's in the tomb, but it was strange now that he was walking. He couldn't walk correctly. He was bound by the grave clothes, and Jesus said, unbind him, take off the stuff on his face, and free him, and let him go. Some of you this morning need to hear the voice of God call your name and say, come out. Because here's the reality. Lazarus really isn't the walking dead. You know who's the walking dead? Those who are without Christ are the walking dead. Those who do not know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus this morning, the Bible says you are dead in your sins. Why is this? Lazarus died for two reasons. The main reason he died at that moment, Jesus told us this, was to bring glory and honor to him, that he was going to do a great miracle, right? The second reason Lazarus dies is because he too is a son of Adam. His parents are Adam and Eve. And all of us who are born, we are descendants of the first Adam, Adam and Eve. And what did our first parents do? They sinned. And the result of sin was death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. They were separated from God at that moment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam, all die. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So guess what? When we're born, we are born with a sin nature. We are sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. That's why you don't have to teach kids to be selfish. Right? How many of y'all have small children? Have you ever had to teach them? Now, don't share with it. I mean, you don't share with anybody. This is your toy. When somebody comes up to it, you say, mine. Do we teach that? No, it's opposite. We got to say, come on, share, you know, quit hitting your brother. We have to tell them things to correct. We are born with a sinful nature. We're dead in our sins. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you, what? Once walked. The walking dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Children of wrath. The walking dead. So the Bible would say this morning, if you are not in Christ, if you have never answered the call of Jesus to come and step into life into him, you are dead in your sins. You are in a tomb and you have grave clothes all around you that you need to be freed from. But I got good news this morning. Here's the gospel. You ready for some good news? You ready for good news? You want to know how to come out of that tomb, how to come out of that grave, how to be set free? It says, I only read half the verses there in a couple of these verses. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, for as in Adam all die, but so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we do this? But God, being rich in mercy, But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were what? Dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. Who made us alive? He did. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive. Guess what? You don't have to wear the grave clothes any longer. Isn't that good news? Some of you are walking around. You're the walking dead. You've got grave clothes all around you. You are bound by lust. You are bound by desires of the flesh. You are bound by greed. You are bound by envy. You are bound by jealousy. You are bound by pride. You are bound by adultery, fornication, immorality. You are bound by religion. You are bound by gossip. You are bound by slander. You are bound by the things of this world, of your flesh and your mind. And the devil is very clever. He makes you think that the grave clothes is what it's all about. He makes you think that the clothes he offers you, there's life in, but there's not. That drug, he says, will free your mind, will help you to escape the pain of this world. And so you wrap yourself in drugs, and you realize it doesn't bring life, it brings death. Some of you are bound by depression, unworthiness, guilt, shame, fear. And you're walking around, you're breathing, you're here, you're going through the motions, you're going to the store, you're buying stuff, you're going to work, you have kids at the ball field, but you're dead. You're the walking dead. There's no life in you, and you're bound and you're walking around in grave clothes. And I want to ask you today to hear the voice of God. Hear him say your name and say, come out, because I want to release you of those grave clothes. I've got new clothes for you to put on. I've got clothes of righteousness to give you. I've got clothes of forgiveness to heal you. I've got clothes of mercy, of grace everlasting. I've got new clothes for you to put on, a robe of righteousness. So you don't have to walk in shame and fear and guilt. All that can be released. When he called Lazarus by name, he said, come out. Lazarus came out. I once was the walking dead. I didn't know Jesus personally. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. Some of you have heard this before. I was in fourth grade, and I walked down the aisle. I was a good church-growing person, and I knew all the answers. And so when the pastor asked me the questions, I could tell him the answers. I repeated the prayer, and I got baptized. And I was in middle school, and the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, tapped me on the shoulder and said, Grant, you know about me, but you don't know me. You're around me, but you're not in me. And then I heard another voice say, don't listen to that voice. Why, you're fine. Why, your grandparents think you're a believer. Everybody in the church thinks you're a believer. Why didn't you walk down that aisle? Didn't you get baptized? And I said, yeah, I did. Well, don't worry about it. And so I shook it off. Eighth grade year, ninth grade year. Every time I'd hear a message, every time I'd go to bed at night, the Holy Spirit would be speaking to my heart and say, hey, Grant, you know about me, but you don't know me. You're around me, but not in me. I was a sophomore in high school. It was a Sunday evening. Our youth leaders were teaching us how to share the faith. And I heard the voice say, Grant, come out. And I said, I'm done. I'm out. I'm out. I'm done with these grave clothes. I am going to listen. And I looked at my buddy. I said, I don't know about you. I said, but I need to get saved. I said, I don't know Jesus. And I gave my heart and life to Jesus that day. And he saved me. And he redeemed me. And he took off the grave clothes. And he gave me new clothes to wear. And he gave me a peace that I've never had, that I never experienced before. And it stayed with me ever since. That's called salvation, regeneration. It's called being born again. It's called being dead and coming to life. That's what Jesus does. And some of you, you're walking around and you're dead. There's no life. There's no true life. You have no hope for eternity. If you were to die today, you can't honestly say, man, I know I'd be in heaven. If that's you, I'm going to ask you, when we sing this song, to come up out of that grave, that you come up out of that grave and you come. When Jesus calls you by name and says, come out, what do you need to do? Come out. Quit sitting in that chair. Don't stay where you're at. Don't let the devil keep you and rob you and keep those grave clothes on you. And you say, well, I'll just wait until the service is over. I'll just wait until the service is over. I'll do it next week, or I'll do it maybe some other time. No, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. You may not get next week. And you say, oh, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, that is a reality of life. You may not have any other chance but today. This may be the one time that God says, come out. And if you don't come out, you're going to be dead in your sin. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, and he says, come out, come out. Those of us who know Christ, guess what? We need to live in what he's given us, the life that he's given us. Quit going back and picking up the grave clothes. They don't belong on you. Those fleshly desires that he's freed you from, quit going back to it. That anger that just dominates your life, quit putting that bandage back on. The lust, get it out. The pride, kill it. Quit putting on grave clothes when you have been made alive. Wear his clothes. Amen. So this morning, we're going to come up out of this grave. We're going to come up out of this grave, and we're going to live and not die. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, guess what? I'm going to beg you and encourage you to come running out and coming down this aisle and say, Grant, I need to be saved. Do not delay. Do not wait. Let's pray. Father, there is an urgency this morning because the devil is a lie. And today he is trying to blind the hearts and minds of some people this morning. And they know today that if they were to die, they have no assurance of eternity. And so this morning, right now, I'm going to ask, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would call out their name. You'd speak to their heart and they would come running down the aisle and say, I need to know Jesus. And so, Father, have your will, have your way in our hearts. And, Father, may you save. And may you, like Lazarus, bring dead souls to life. Father, for those of us who know you, if we've been putting on dirty clothes and those grave clothes and we've been trying to put those back on us, Lord, help us to realize that those aren't fit for us any longer. No. We've been given a new set of clothes to wear. Clothes of your righteousness, of your holiness, of your robe. So, Father, may we walk in that. Lord, speak, and may we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Hey, let's go. Let's don't stay right there. Let's get out of that tomb when he calls you by name. What do you say? Let's worship.